This is the House Judiciary Committee, May 24th, 1985, Subcommittee 2.
We have, it looks like a lot of work, but I think we can do it quite quickly. First bill on listed as on work session. I want to wait for council to get here because I know we have amendments on that. But Senate bills 29, 30, and 31. I don't believe at least for work session on Senate bill 229 that there are any amendments offered. Members want to refresh their memory on this. They do have the staff measure analysis from the Senate.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 229 to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
Representative Burton moves Senate Bill 229 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is everybody comfortable in voting? Clerk will call the roll.
Salamy?
Aye.
Devine?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Stringer?
Aye.
Kopetsky?
Aye. Motion adopted. Senate Bill 230.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Bellamy.
I move Senate Bill 230 to the floor to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bellamy moves Senate Bill 238 engrossed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Kopetsky?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Senate Bill 231, A engrossed. I recommend Peterson.
Ready for a motion?
Yes.
I would move Senate Bill 231 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Peterson moves Senate Bill 231 engrossed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
She's excused.
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Kopetsky?
Aye. Motion's adopted.
Was Representative Bellamy recorded as oops or excuse?
Excuse.
Good, thanks.
No minority
report.
No.
Good point. Very good related clause anyway.
We're trying to keep an eye on some of those things. We've got one living in the state bar, but
We have Senate Bill 336 on listed as a public hearing, and council isn't here to help us. I don't know if Senator Bradbury or Representative Witte were going to be here to testify, so I think Senate Bill 14, there are amendments to that, and I guess what we'll do is...
Mr. Chair.
Representative Springer.
Excuse me, while you're... I think you did mention Senate Bill 14, and I just wanted to share with members of the subcommittee. My office received a phone call from Ms. Gebbe, the head of the Health Division, who stopped by apparently to say that the amendments to be proposed to the bill, she has great concern about it, and she's asked us not to amend the bill. I don't know if she planned on following up with any more information other than what's been previously provided, but that position was reiterated that on behalf of the Health Division, they were opposed to the amendments. So I would share that message with members.
Okay. I guess I would like to hear the reasons why. As I recall, this would allow the birth and death certificates copy, a certifiable copy, to remain in the county courthouse. And it seems like a good idea to me, and I'd like to hear their arguments. Representative Bach.
Just to comment further on that and to express that I share your view. Their main concern, as expressed earlier, was that the amendments had come along in a sudden fashion. They hadn't had opportunity to review and wanted more opportunity to review. The amendment sounded like a great idea to me unless there was some mechanical glitch that would cause problems, and I would share your view that hopefully they would explain why there's a problem. It seemed to me counties were saying, or the county that was here said, we want to be of service. Mm-hmm. That was a positive.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I had a long chat with Christine because Linda Allen, who is representing the local health officials, is from my county. Big concern with the Health Division is this probably, as written, would give maybe a possibility of a $500,000 fiscal impact to the State Health Division. There is problems with the amendments. I had a lot of sympathy with the bill and with the concept because I know they were taking an extreme amount of time in processing birth and death certificates. But Christine says that has changed with their computer system now. They're looking at right now, maximum 2 weeks. And she says they're even getting it down to even, they expect to get it down to even less time than that turnaround. Questioning her quite some length. Local health division people right now have the authority to keep a death certificate, I believe, up to 30 days, and a birth certificate up to 4 or 5 days. For most areas that do not need an official transcript, they can make copies of the certificate, which they usually keep in the counties. Christine also says that if every county, not every county wants this, but if every county wanted this, they are in the process of setting up their terminals, and it would be in a matter of equipment to where they could punch a button and get the information out of the state where the central records are, and it could be done through a telex hookup, but that costs, you figure, somewhere around $8,000 per county. She also indicated that there's a real problem with fraud in terms of potential fraud in terms of deaths. Right now, when a baby dies, if they don't mark that death certificate correct and cross match and work with it, that's one of the easiest ways for people later on in life to do welfare fraud, is to go back and find a young child that died at about a certain time, then attach the name and so forth. And if there isn't this cross reference and so forth done at the health division, because as I understand, the amendments do say that all of the records will be kept at the local county and not at the state. And I don't believe that's a good policy. I believe that birth and death certificates should be kept with the county. I was supporting because of the turnaround time. If it's true that the turnaround time has been totally eliminated, then I don't see the real need for the bill. Or the amendment, not the bill. There's still a good part of the bill.
Right. I guess I didn't understand some things the way you do, Bill. We're talking about a 2-week versus about a 24-hour turnaround time. A substantial difference in time, as I understand. I mean, you're saying they can get it down to 2 weeks, but we're talking about if they could do it locally, getting it down to 24 hours. My understanding was that the local, if they wanted to, could keep a copy. Didn't have to, but could. I can't understand if they have that option, how it could possibly cost $500,000.
Because the state health division gets $5 for every certificate. See, this pays for all of their vital record statistics division that is required by the federal government is the sale of these birth and death certificates.
Well, is there an effective way with the amendments that the local could do it and pass the dollars on to the state?
That would be possible to do, yes. But then you have the mechanical problem of the state not being the repository of all birth and death certificates. See, their amendments state that the death, as I understand it, and Linda's just come in and I haven't had a chance to visit with her. As I understand it, the amendments would state that the counties would keep these certificates.
I think
and she has the state health division has real problems with that in the way their requirements for federal vital statistics.
Representative,
well, and again, my understanding could be wrong, but as I read this, it just allows the local government to keep a copy of what will be on file with the state. Therefore, the state will have all of the records they have now. If you pass the dollars on to the state, they'll have the dollars they have now. It is true that you potentially create more room for fraud, but the trade-off for that is a 24-hour turnaround time versus a 2-week turnaround time in service to the public. And I think we can design this so that we really do some good things for the public in terms of quick turnaround time for records, unless there's a policy reason against it.
Well, the state health division, Christine needs to be here because a lot of this is very technical. I think there's a lot of good. The amendments are proposed in good faith. One of the things is it becomes down to financial, but technically there may be some questions that I'm sure not capable of answering.
Why don't we ask Ms. Allen? She could answer a couple of questions.
Is anybody here from State Health?
I don't think so.
They may get there shortly.
Ms. Allen, I guess for clarification, if you could help us out here, was it your intent to have that the counties could keep a copy, certified copy of the certificates, and they would still be required to pass on the originals to the state?
That's correct. What we would like to be able to do is keep a copy of the vital record. The original would still be submitted to the vital records unit of the state health division.
And would the state would get its $5, the full $5, is that correct?
Anyone requesting a certified copy from the state of Oregon, the state would receive that $5. If they requested the copy from us, since we were the providing agency, we would get the $5. But any request directed to the state of Oregon, they would continue to receive that $5.
So that's probably where the fiscal comes in.
And when you say keeping a certified copy, you mean that both the county and the state would have a certified copy?
What I mean is the county would have a copy, the state would have the original.
But you'd be able to give a certified copy.
Right.
Whereas right now, all you can give is a copy and it's not certified.
During the week to 10 days that is retained at the local level, we give a certified copy. It has to be certified. After that, all certified copies come from the state of Oregon. If we were allowed to keep a copy at the local level, we would then be our intent to issue certified copies upon request.
Representative Bunn?
Further question for Representative Bellamy. Do you know how the $500,000 figure was arrived at?
No. And I may not be real close on that. It runs in my mind that it was somewhere in that neighborhood. But she said that, and here's the person from the State Health Division, so.
Yes.
Art, isn't he?
Art,
you might as well come up.
Welcome to the committee.
Welcome to Judiciary Committee.
Mr. Kyle, we have some questions in terms of the fiscal impact and on the proposed amendments.
Bring Gil Carney, who is our registrar.
Certainly.
Question was the $500,000 figure.
Yes.
You need to give your name.
My name is Joseph D. Carney. I'm the state registrar for vital records. The roughly $500,000 figure was arrived at in two ways. Approximately $350,000 would be the estimated loss of revenue. We base that on assuming a 25% loss of certificate of production, and based on our current production, that would amount to $350,000 over the biennium. The other $150,000 comes from the employment of three clerical specialists, which would be necessary once the system is duplicated in the counties. Under the present system, during the first week to 10 days, county can make certified copies. In general, they make copies of death certificates, because the funeral director brings in the death certificate and says, I need six copies right now. There is very little business in birth certificates during a first 10-day period. On the other hand, our business at the state is heavily into the birth certificates, about 80% of our business. When the birth certificate comes in, or the death certificate after that 10-day period, there's very little change that has occurred to any of those certificates. However, once it arrives in the vital records office, where it's going to be stored for the ad infinitum, there are a number of changes that take place. Adoptions take place, legitimations, paternity declarations, legal change of name. We query about 20% of the death certificates. There are changes made to the death certificate. In the cause of death, etc. If a duplicate system exists in the counties, then we would have to notify the county each time a change is made to the certificate at the state level. Of those, we estimated, of the changes we're making now, we change approximately 4,000 documents in a month. Of those 2,200 documents in a month. Of those 2,200, a little over 800 of them require the forming of a sealed file, so that, for instance, an adoption or a paternity or something where papers have to be sealed and a new record made, we have to form a sealed file. In those cases, we would have to contact the county, get their copy of the record, and bring it back in to be put into that sealed file, and also then send to the county a copy of the newly formed record. Those transactions, the changes on the 2,200 records plus the back and forth on the sealed file records, amount to about 4,000 documents being handled back and forth between the counties and the state in a month. To do that work would take three full-time equivalent clerical specialists, and that's basically what with postage and so on involved. That's what the $150,000 came from.
Representative Bunn.
How did you arrive at the 25% loss of certificate production?
Honestly, it's a guess, because we have no experience to base that on. I did call to another state. I know West Virginia has a system where they have the counties issuing both birth and death certificates. I called the registrar there and asked his input. He said that they do lose business from the birth certificate being issued at the county level. However, his experience is still much like ours. The death certificates are issued more at the county level than the birth certificates. However, he says that he does lose some business. I couldn't make an exact analogy between his situation and ours, because in their situation, the counties are allowed also to establish their own price for the record. And so there's some sort of undercutting in price that causes a difference in the loss of figures. But, so we estimated 25% basically just on the fact that we felt we wouldn't lose all of the birth certificates. Most people write to the state office because they can get that address in many different places. You know, if they've moved to Oklahoma or where have you, they still can go to the Oklahoma vital records and they say, "Aren't you right to Portland for your record?"
Would 5% or 35% be as good a guess as 25%?
I think 35% would probably be too high, and 5% I would estimate being quite little. Once all of the counties were involved, that would take some time too, because just as we have to process those 4,000 documents a month, the counties would have to set up the routines to process those receipt of those documents.
Good question. We're real concerned when we get figures that we're supposed to rely on, and we don't know where they come from. Why is 25% better than 10%?
I'm concerned when I have to come up with a figure that I have no history to go with.
Isn't that really
my best bet is 25%?
I think you've raised some excellent points, but isn't that 25% figure really meaningless to us?
I certainly would not say it's going to be exactly 25%.
Representative Burke?
The counties originally were set up, and still to some extent are, as administrative arms of the state government, and the intent was to have a place to file papers and get papers and to file claims and that sort of thing. And if I understand some of the major thrust behind the intent of this amendment, it's really to serve or find a way to serve those more distant counties, if you would, and distances these days are relative, but maybe less populated counties. If you were to sort of follow up on Representative Bunn said on this 25%, given the population density of Portland, Multnomah County, maybe the counties, Marion County, Lane County, where most of the population of the state exists, that's where the majority of the filings or sealing of documents and what they are occurring, how would you feel about this amendment pertaining only to those counties that had a population less than 100,000 or something to that effect? What we're really trying to do here, I think, is find a way for some of the more distant counties, the less populated counties, to find a way for people in those counties to get a fast turnaround service. That's really what I think the intent of this bill, the amendment is, and I think it's a concern that I have that if there's a way to allow people to get a quicker turnaround on something without destroying state's budgetary ability to meet the other needs, the primary needs, would that be a less onerous kind of amendment?
I think, in terms of the money, I don't think the money is the only problem involved. There's a major fraud problem involved where you issue copies at several different centers. It's less difficult to obtain a fraudulent copy.
Is there a lot of fraud now?
We work continuously with the Border Patrol, with the FBI, and with local enforcement agencies to counteract the fraud that is going on just using a centralized system.
Mr. Chairman, if I may address Mark Kyle. I think the question that we're trying to resolve internally is a question of a centralized system, which we have developed since 1903, and now we've placed 25 years of the records on a computerized system. Whether to maintain that system of centralized location or to fragment the system of assigning some of those duties to specific counties. And I think the point that we also want to make on that, if I may, Mr. Chairman, is that
because we've placed these all on electronic computers, that is available as soon as the details are worked out to a county to tie into that system to obtain with the terminal and with the printer the computerized record from the centralized repository in the vital statistics office. That was the reason for putting those on to begin with.
Are you saying that that's available right now to the counties?
The records are on, Mr. Chairman, Representative Burton. The records are available within the Health Division. It's a matter of working out the technical details of a specific county getting hooked up to us, getting the proper equipment, and so on and so forth. I'm not a computer person to tie into that system where we could.
If you know, that seems like that would be a reasonable and logical way to conclude this kind of thing, but I'm aware right now that in the telecommunications subcommittee in Ways and this is a matter down in front of Ways and Means, just to try to fund a kind of pilot program for one county in the state that's going to be at considerable cost. And I think to try to talk about the opportunity to do this statewide in all 36 counties maybe a fairly major undertaking that wouldn't be available for several years.
Ms. Gebbie is here. Welcome.
But I would like to ask Lady from Jefferson, Jefferson County? Klamath County?
Jefferson County, yes.
What your reaction to, if I may, to that kind of, or I need some comments.
I've heard before that eventually we will be tied into a computer, but that is all based upon counties getting a computer system. And I think you have hit upon the problem in that all counties are not going to be on a computer system next year, and they may not be on a computer system 5 years from now. We would certainly hope that that is something in the future for counties. And when we are able to do that, we would, of course, like to be able to access the state computer, but we cannot tell you when that's going to happen in the individual counties.
Can I just ask Representative Burton, did you have further questions?
Not this time. Okay.
Is it the death certificates that there's more of a local need for?
My county may be unique in that we have an Indian reservation. So I receive as many requests for birth certificates as I do death certificates. We get more complaints in regard to death certificates, however, than we do birth certificates because of the holdup in insurance claims, et cetera, that families are experiencing in the current 4 to 6 weeks. And I realize that Christine is hoping and planning to have that cut to 2 week turnaround period. But that is where our most frequent complaints come from death certificates.
Would you say that's true generally in the counties throughout Oregon, that the concern more is in the death certificate areas, recognizing the tribal status issues for those counties that have reservations?
I would have to say, just based on the discussions I've had with other counties and funeral home directors, that's what I believe, but don't put that in stone.
I think we have some folks here from the funeral directors that may want to testify briefly on this. Let me ask this. Would you refresh my memory on the length of time that you're allowed to hold the death certificates?
We have it for 7 to 10 days.
And does the statute say 10 days? It's got a...
It's in rule.
Oh, it's an administrative rule.
It's an administrative rule. The amount of time you can hold it. The problem is it's in statute as far as being able to keep a copy. That administrative rule, I understand, can be worked with and changed, but it's in statute, the part about being able to keep a copy or making copies from a copy, which is what the amendment is before you.
Okay. Ms. Gebbie, did you comment?
Yeah, I'm concerned that I missed a few minutes. I thought you were starting at 1:30, and I assume you started a little bit early, so I haven't heard all of the questions and discussion, but there are a couple of points that I would like to make that I think are relevant. The first is the basic division, which has been referred to, about the differences in the birth and death certificates. By far, the majority of death certificate sales happen in the county, and I think Jefferson County is unique in that high interest in birth certificates at the local level. The local interest is primarily in death certificates shortly after the time of death. The counties can keep a copy of any certificate now. It's not keeping a copy that's the issue. It's making copies of that copy that can be certified. They can make copies of that copy as a non-certified copy. They do that in many counties. It is not a certified copy, and it is not legally valid for some uses. And so it is the certified copy that they're interested in. This issue has come up in Ways and Means in the last two sessions. The whole relationship between the state and the counties and how to make sales more efficient and how to bring some improved access for sales out to the local level. The Ways and Means Committee is very aware that it's a revenue issue. It is a service issue on the surface. It will cut turnaround time, but it is a revenue issue both for the state and for the county. At $5 a copy.